Beginning with verse number 21, Matthew 26 and verse 21, said, "And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." One of you are going to betray me. One of you are going to betray me. Verse number 34. Speaking to Peter, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's good to have everybody here and see everybody. Good to see Jay again. It's been a little bit of time. Jay, good to see you, my friend. Glad you're here. And you brought your daughter, Jaylin, with you also. Too bad your wife couldn't be here. I know she's working, but you greet her for us, all right? Amen. Glad to see you. Amen. Here we are dealing with two different men. I want to preach this thought, just a real simple thought, and that is responding to transition. Responding to transition. And so we're going to be doing a little bit of a journey here in chapter 26. I'm going to skip around a little bit. We've got two men, two characters here, one by the name of Judas and the other by the name of Peter. And both are at a specific time of life where they are transitioning. Amen. There are transitions in all of our lives. All of our lives. I would dare say even today there are many of us that have a place right now that you are transitioning from one spot, one place, one situation, one circumstance to another.
Amen.
Amen. Some may be small, some may be medium size, and some may be very large, and you are here today wondering what are you going to do. So let's look at this setting of scripture here today for just a few moments. Verse 21 again said, "And they did eat. He said, Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful." Notice it said they. Here we are at this Last Supper. They are sitting down together, all the disciples, and Jesus makes this statement about betrayal, and all of them are dealing with sorrow. They are all troubled in their spirit. They don't know what is really coming to pass. Jesus has already spoken to them and talked to them about his passing, about his going away. They don't understand all that's going on. They are hearing what he's saying, but they don't really understand. How many of y'all feel that way sometimes when you know there's a situation that you've got to get from point A to point B, but you don't know how you're going to get there? And maybe it's just in your heart, maybe it's just in your mind that you feel like you've got to move, you've got to do something, but you just don't know how to do it.
Amen.
And so here they are. They're hearing Jesus. They're understanding there's a change coming, but they don't know. They can't comprehend. They can't understand every aspect that is fixing to happen. So they're very sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Is it me? And this may be a question that we've been asking ourselves today and say, God, what is it in me? How do I need to respond? What do I need to do? I believe that is a very good question for us all to ask. He answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him. But woe unto him by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Oh, woe unto him who betrays me. It's going to happen. There is a situation that is at hand, and it is going to have a major impact. It is going to be a change. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, verse 25, which betrayed him, Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. Can you imagine how foggy his brain must have been to not actually equate to that, to not comprehend what was really going on? For Jesus said, it is he which dippeth the sop with me. And he reaches over with a piece of bread. And I don't know how it all happened, but in my mind's eye, I can see as Jesus has a piece of bread, that Judas reaches over and he rips off a piece of bread. And they both reach at the same time. I believe that their eyes were very possibly even locked upon one another as they reached to dip sop at the same time. As Judas even said, that he said, is it I? And the Lord would say, thou hast said. Even coming to that recognition, I know that most of us would possibly say today, I would have immediately dropped it. I would have immediately done this. I would have done that. The problem is that the scripture tells us that Satan had entered into his heart. The tragedy is sometimes it's already too late. Because we already made a deal with the devil. Let me say it like that. You already made a deal with the devil, and the course has been set in motion. The transition has already been set in motion. I'm talking about two transitions here today. And so Judas, he had already set some things in motion. He already had rebellion in his heart. He already knew what he was going to do. He already had some jealousies that had rooted up inside of him. He already had a love of money that was rooted inside of him. He had some ungodly desires that are already multiplying in his heart, that the enemy had already deceived him to where he could not even recognize that even when the Lord said, it is I, is it I? And he said, it is you. That he could not retract what he had already set in motion. Amen. If we skip quickly down to verse number 33, it said, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Oh boy, right there's a lot said. Amen. There's a lot of times how many of us have said, I will never. Oh boy, I can't. I would never do this, or I would never say that, or I would never go, or I would never do. And oh, how many times have we been tested with those words? I would never. I won't do. I won't go. Oh, how many times I myself have said those very things, and I have been, and it has set in motion a challenge, a place for me to be tested and tried. I've had people say to me before, I would never speak against the man of God like so and so and such and such, and yet they do the very same thing.
Come on.
Man, I'm talking about responding to a transition. You can say a lot of things that you will never, and you would never, so on and so forth. But I promise you today, you will be tested. You will be tried by your own words. So don't be surprised when the opportunity arises for you to speak against the man of God. That after you have said with your own lips, I can't believe they've done this. I can't believe they said that. I can't believe they acted that way. Be careful. Because an opportunity is coming down your road to meet you with the same exact challenge of just how supportive, loyal, and trustworthy you really are. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock even crows, before it's all said and done, Peter, you are going to deny me three times. And Peter, in his arrogance, he said, nah, not me, God. And in some of, oh, we're no different. We're no different. We say the same thing. We say amen even in the wrong places. When I say we say amen in the wrong places, the preacher will be preaching and we'll say amen, and the preacher's preaching right to us and we'll say amen because we're thinking about them over there. Yeah, they need that. Instead of saying, so be it, that's right, I need that, help me, Jesus. I'm the one that's being preached to right now. I need some help in my situation. Oh, it's so easy to point the finger at everybody else. It's so easy. Come on now. And it's so easy to tell everybody else how to do it. I told you just the other day, and I've mentioned it several times since, that I was even talking to my son there, Master, the other day. I picked him up from work, and I told him, he got in the truck, and I just started unloading on him. So y'all go, really? I go, yeah. I said, man, I'm so frustrated. I'm so frustrated. I said, you know what my problem is? You know where I'm failing right now, son? And he's kind of looking at me like, oh, man, you ain't never done this to me before. I said, you know where I'm failing right now? Is I'm having a problem letting God just do it. I'm just having a hard time letting God unfold this. I want to fix this and I want to do that. And this needs done and that needs done. And it's just not working. And I told him, I said, I'm frustrated, and I'm not frustrated with God, I'm frustrated with myself, because even though I can preach, and I can tell somebody else, wait on God, I can tell somebody else, hey, just let it unfold, be patient, and let's see what God will do, here my own self is being challenged. I know what I'm preaching today, and I know who I'm preaching to. Some of y'all say, yeah, you're preaching to yourself. Well, if I don't preach to myself, I myself become a castaway. If I don't have myself right, if I don't get my attitude right, if I don't have my spirit adjusted every once in a while, I myself will lose out with God. Say, well, man, you preach a lot to yourself all the time. Well, you know why? Because I'm just as human as the rest of y'all. So I know that you can use it just as well as I can. Amen. Amen. And so here he is. He says, thou shalt, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. Likewise also shall all the disciples. Likewise also said of everybody. Peter says, well, I'm going to go to you with the death. I'll die for you. And all the disciples said, amen. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But they were facing a transition. Jesus, their master, the Savior, was fixing to get crucified, was fixing to be beaten beyond a beating that anybody has ever seen or received. He was going to be abused in such a way that was going to be so, so hard on their emotion, on their psyche. It was going to be one of the most difficult situations they had ever faced.
Amen.
Amen. But yet, Peter said, I'll go to the death. I will not deny you. Oh, be careful, saint of God. Be careful, friend, today, that you got to be careful. And you say, well, then I'm just not going to say anything. Well, that's saying a whole lot. Amen.
Amen.
You say, I'm not going to say this or I'm not going to say that. Well, you better be careful even in that, because God knows the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah. all the disciples chimed in with him. If we skip down and we go back to Judas, and verse number 47, it said, "And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with a great multitude with swords and staves, from the chief priests to the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast." I wonder sometimes, why did Judas say, "Grab a hold of him, hold him fast, don't let him go"? I wonder why they felt this overwhelming need. Jesus never did anything to give them any indication that he would ever fight. Amen. That he would ever resist. And forthwith, verse 49, he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him as a greeting, as a way of friendship. For Jesus said unto him, look there. Isn't this amazing? Friend. Jesus, knowing what this kiss meant, Jesus, knowing what all was going on,
right,
hearing the rattle of the saber, seeing the staves and the guards, seeing the high priest, knowing everything that's going on, still called him friend.
Right.
What a spirit. What a attitude that Jesus had. He said, "Friend, wherefore art thou come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which was with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. It is said this is Peter that did this, got in the way of the transition. Now think about this. I'm talking about a transition. Got in the way of this transition. Then said Jesus unto him, "Put again thy sword into its place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." If you're going to, and another scripture talks about living by the sword and dying by the sword. Now, that's a whole other message that I won't get into. But nevertheless, verse number 53 goes on to say, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 10 or more than 12 legion of angels?" Don't you understand? I can have as many angels right here present and take care of this in just a moment. Another place describing this talks about that when he spoke and he said the words, "I am he," that they all fell over backwards. Just by the power of his voice, they all fell down. He was giving the example, you're not going to take me.
Right.
I'm going to willingly go.
Right.
I'm going because Jesus was in a transition also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he was changing from this world and sacrificing his life to, amen, to become the ultimate sacrifice for all the sins of humanity, of which I am thankful for today. But how then shall the scripture be fulfilled that thus it must be? Wait a second. There's a process here. Peter, you need to stop.
Yeah.
I believe at one point he even says, "Get thou behind me, Satan." He said, "Hey, you don't know what spirit you're of. You're trying to interfere with the transition. You're trying to interfere with the process that I am trying to bring about." You see, we are reading a lot today. Three, actually. I didn't even think about the transition that Jesus was going through at this place and particular time. But all three of these characters in the Bible were going through a major transition. And Jesus really was the one that gave us the greatest example. He said, "Hey, wait a second. You doing this is going to mess up the process. I got to tell somebody today, some of the things that you're doing right now, you're messing up the process.
Come on.
That's good.
Get your hands out of it."
Yeah. That's good.
Amen. Amen. Get your hands out of it. Get your brain out of it. Well,
that's good.
I know some of y'all are scared to say amen. That's okay, because you're thinking, oh man, if I say amen, the brother, blah, blah, blah.
No, forget it. I don't think like that. I don't sit there and I count how many times.
It don't matter to me. I just made that statement because that's I know that's what we do.
Yeah,
right. It's just like the old man that was preaching one day. There's a preacher preaching, and he was preaching against everything. And the man that was in the audience, he's getting up saying amen to everything that preacher was preaching. Amen, amen, amen. And then all of a sudden, that preacher said something about a colored shirt. And the man jumps up and he goes,
you got me.
He was wearing a blue shirt that day. And it was just kind of comical when you think about how everything can be coming along, and you can get so much amen this and amen that, and you're not really thinking about what's being said. And they go, oh, wait a second, that was me. That's all I'm saying. We just got to think about it. Amen. So much as we go along in this transit. I got sidetracked there. I apologize. Amen. But it said, this all must be done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. You're in the process.
I got another thing. You just never know what God's going to do sometimes when he gets in the brain of a preacher.
Right?
It was said that another preacher was asking his pastor one day. He said, what do I do about these backsliders? And what do I do about these people in the church that they're living on the edge and they're not really, they look the part, but they're not really in. Their heart isn't right. And he was just frustrated and worried and concerned and praying for them and fasting for them. And he asked his pastor, he said, don't worry about them.
And he's like, whoa, wait a second. I didn't expect that. Because it sounded
as if... he didn't care. But then as he sat there and he thought about it for a little while, the pastor's wife said, you got to understand something. That a long time ago, your pastor realized that he can't worry about every situation. For if he does, he's going to die super young. When I heard that, I thought, man, I'm about ready to die.
Yeah, you ain't been worrying where I have been.
And I thought, you know what? I told my wife on the way back from Winnemucca. I told her, I said, you know what? I'm going to quit worrying.
What?
And she kind of looked at me. She kind of looked at me. And I said, well, I'm going to try.
Amen.
I'm going to try. And it's not that I'm not going to care, because I'm always going to care. But I'm going to try not to worry so much about stuff that I can't fix, that I can't do, that I have. It's out of my control. If you're going to live for God, you're going to do it because you've got a made up mind, because you have a heart after God. If you're not going to live for God, you're going to go out those doors and you're going to do whatever you want to do. And I'm not going to change the situation.
Amen.
But I'm also not going to die over it.
Amen.
Amen. I want to live.
Amen.
I want to be happy.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to always be upset and worried and stressed out.
Amen.
Amen. Nevertheless, I probably will a little bit here and there. So bear with me in my folly. Amen. Then the disciples forsook him and fled. When Jesus said, all this has to be done so the scripture can be fulfilled, all the disciples that were there that said, we're going to go with you. We're going to be there. We're always going to live for God.
They all jet.
Yeah.
They all go. I would never do that. I will do that.
Where are you at now? And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. He went in and he hid amongst all the other servants just to watch what was going on. All of a sudden, his boldness and his zeal had been put off of the burner.
Right.
All of a sudden, everything came to a screeching halt. If we skip down to verse 69, Peter sat without in the palace, and the damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee," and he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, "Thou wert there. This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with a promise, with a, "I swear I wasn't there." Wow. "I do not know." So now he's not only denied him, but now he's a liar. "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by him and said to Peter, "Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. You talk like a Christian. You even talk like you were one with Jesus." Then he began to curse. Our speech will betray us. Our speech will betray us. No, you just talk too right. You talk too much like Jesus does. And so what did he have to do? He started to happen to give a whole string of cuss words to act like them in order to get them to realize, "No, I'm not like Jesus."
Right.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Say, cussing ain't in the Bible. It's in there. There's a perfect example. "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, 'I know not the man.' And immediately," not a moment too soon and not a moment too late, the rooster began to crow and say, do you remember? And then in 75 it said, Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him before the cock crow, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out, the Bible said, he went out and he wept bitterly. That word, "wept bitterly," means he grieved violently. He was shaken to his core. There was a deep sense of remorse and repentance. The scripture also goes on, to grieve violently is to even to shake violently. He was such in pain and in agony of what he had done in his sin that he had just recognized and realized that he violently was shaking and weeping and crying and repenting of what he had done. But then we go to chapter 27 and verse number 3. Then Judas, which betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented. That particular repentance, or that word repented, it said repented himself. It meant that he regretted. Simply, he was regretful for what he did. And it was, and in other places it begins to talk about, when it uses repented himself, it was all about him. It was all about Judas and the repercussion that was going to happen to Judas, where Peter's repentance was something far different than Judas's. Judas's was all about himself. Judas's was the repercussion that would happen to him personally. And he regretted what he did. Peter's was great. It was greatly and vastly different. He was sorrowful because of what was happening, not only to Jesus, but because of the words that he had spoken and his love for him and his commitment to him, but also the commitment from Jesus back to him. I've prayed for thee. I've prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not. This is going to happen in part of your transition. But I prayed for you, and it's going to be all right. And I feel today that there are folks that you are in the place of transition. And there may be a Judas here that you're regretful for what you've done because of the situation and the ripple effect of what it may come back to you and how it may affect your reputation, how it's going to affect your pride, how it's going to affect your name, how it's going to affect who you are. Peter didn't care about that.
Right.
He didn't care about his reputation. He didn't care. He said, I got to make this right. Nothing else matters. You see, there's a transition that you're at. There's a place, and it depends. Your outcome depends entirely upon your response to the change, to the shift. You're going from one place to the next, and what will happen? Verse 4 saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, so what? What's that to us? We don't want your money. We don't care. You wanted the money in the first place. You were the one that named the price. You were the one that set in motion everything. We don't want that money. And he threw it down at their feet in the temple. And he ran out. The Bible said that he went out and he hanged, and he used this word again, himself, in the same sense as repented himself. It was all about him. Selfish people don't really repent. Proud, arrogant people don't really repent. They make a show. They cast down the silver. They make a show that, oh God, I'm coming against some resistance right there. They make a show of repentance, but deep down inside, they're still not repented. They've not grieved bitterly over their sin. They've not really grieved to the point to, God, rip this out of my spirit. Get this far away from me. I don't want to be that man. I don't want to act like that woman. I don't want to have that spirit. But rather, it's all about themselves and Judas in the transition of Jesus dying on the cross, being the ultimate sacrifice, even for Judas. He made a decision that was selfish and self-centered, and he went and hung himself. And let me say today that you may not go out and physically hang yourself, but you may hang yourself in the spirit. You may hang yourself in a most spiritual way, because your repentance is all about saving face. Your repentance is all about you. Your repentance is really about your name and your pride and your selfishness. It's not about really making it right with God. What are you going to do in the middle of this transition? You're at a place of testing. You're at a place of trial. You're at a changing from one place to another, from one stage of life to another. You are at a transition, and the way you respond will ultimately determine your success of your future. For while Judas went off and hung himself, Peter wept bitterly and was the man that stood up on the day of Pentecost and was able to preach the word of the Lord, saying, repent, amen, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. Oh, what a difference in the response of the transition. Jesus spoke to both of them. Jesus talked with both of them. Oh, how has Jesus spoken to you in your life? How has he tried to reach for you in your life? How will you respond in transition? You see, I understand that God, in his infinite wisdom, he accepts us and allows us to come unto him as we are. But he does not allow us to stay as we are. Because the scripture indicates to us that behold, you have become a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are not to be the same man that you used to be. You are not to be the same woman that you used to be. Yes, your speech ought to betray you. You ought not to talk the way you used to talk. You ought not to live the way that you used to live. There ought to be a transition in your life when Jesus comes in, that I am no longer the man, the woman that I used to be. I've been changed. I've been newborn. All of my life has been rearranged. In this setting of scripture, as I prepare to close, in this setting of scripture, we have a transition. One place to another. This change happening in these men's lives. Judas and Peter. Oh God, here I am again. I said, oh God. Both disciples of Jesus. God help me, Jesus. May I even say it like this? And I mean no. Understand I'm using a parallel. That I am not Jesus, but as your pastor, as the watchman on the wall, as the shepherd, as the protector, as the guide or the leader, and you as the disciples, those disciples. Oh God, I'm sorry. I got my eyes closed because I can't see. I can't bear to look. So forgive me, please forgive me in my folly. As disciples, as saints of this local assembly, is there a Judas and a Peter? You've ate at the same table. You've played the games. You've sang the songs. We've worshiped together. We've played together. We've had Bible study together. We've done this together. But oh, you're in a place of transition today. How will you respond to the transition? Life is filled with different situations that moves us from one level to another. Willing or unwilling, transition always takes place in everyone's life.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes life will call us to experience something we've never experienced before. Do something we've never done before. It's pushing us. It's propelling us to a different stage or place of life. In transition, we must let go of things that are comfortable, that are easy, that are well known. And yet, as we must push them aside and let them go, that is one of the most difficult things to do. It's not easy to let things go that are easy. It's not easy to let go things that have become comfortable to us. And here we are at a transition. We are at a transition. And I spoke already earlier that some of us may be going through small transitions, medium size, or very life-changing transitions. But all is going to hinge upon how you respond to the change. When we moved from one level to another, we may never go back to that level. I'll give you an example. There was a time that I struggled so intently in pastoring this church. Several years ago, I called and I talked to my pastor and I said, if I could come home right now, I would walk out of here and go home and sit on that pew and be a good saint. I was going through a transition. I was struggling. It was difficult. It was hard. And all I wanted to do was go back home and just sit and be a saint. My pastor, he said, you will never make a good saint. You know why he told me that? He said, because you already went to the next level and you cannot go back. Right. I can't remember the scripture right now, but it keeps on pounding in my head. It goes something like this. I have no pleasure in them that fall back. God doesn't take delight in us going backwards, but he wants to advance us. And there's situations and there's things going on in our life that are there not to destroy us, but to advance us, to take us to the next level, to get us from one place to the next, to transition. I'm telling you today that God has special and important blessings for you in your life, but they are all hinging upon your response in transition. Yeah. I know in our society, this gaming society, you can redo that level over again. You can play that part of the game over again. But life isn't quite like that.
Right.
You advance from one level unto the next. One opportunity to the next. And truly, your decisions, truly your choices. You see, as much as you want to blame it on your spouse, as much as you want to blame it on your childhood, as much as you want to blame it on your aunt or your uncle, your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, the fact still remains that you are ultimately responsible for the choices that you make. For the things that you say. I didn't get quite the resounding amen on that one.
Amen.
It's true.
But you're responsible for the things that you say.
Amen.
You're responsible for the thoughts that you think.
Right.
You are. You are. We may be moving into a new phase of our life like Abraham was. He said, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country. But I don't know what's over there, Pastor. I don't understand what's all going on. Well, I don't understand it all either. Well, that doesn't help me much. Well, just so happens to be that a lot of times we're all going through a transition. We're all going through different stages. We're all going through times of our life.
Yes, sir.
And that is why we so desperately need the Spirit of God to lead us and to guide us. That's why he said, I want to give you the Holy Ghost so it will lead and guide you into all truth. So to neglect his Spirit is to neglect guidance. To neglect his Spirit is to neglect truth. His Spirit wants to come into your life, into your world. There may be some transition. There may be some furniture rearrangement. I've always had my couch has always been, my couch has always been up against that wall for 20 years. Jesus walks into your house and says, we're going to take that couch out. Not only are we going to rearrange, we're going to get rid of that couch. And you know what we're going to put there instead of a couch? We're going to put an altar bench there. Because you've been laying around on the couch like a couch potato. Lethargic. Not doing anything in my spirit. We got some rearrangement in your house to do. We're getting rid of that couch. You don't have no place to sit and lounge around. But I'm going to put an altar there where you can make some sacrifice, where you can dedicate your time, where you can consecrate your life, where you can give yourself to me in a more diligent way. The Bible said, woe unto thee that are at ease in Zion. Woe unto thee, just like Jesus said to Judas, woe unto that man, for it would have been better for him not to have been born. Responding today to the transition, God, as well as your pastor, may feel that it's time. Your time is up. The phase that you're in right now is over. It's time to move forward. It's time to transition. It's time to move on. It's time to move up. Oh, I can remember so many different transitions in my life. Outside of the Holy Ghost, the one most glorious transition of my life was going from being single to married. But at the same time, oh, what an adjustment. What an adjustment. Because my time was not my own anymore. I couldn't just do whatever I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it. No. Me and another woman had become one flesh. And some of you don't know what that means. You live different lives and separate lives. And that's why there's heartache and trouble in your world. And that was free. And that was your pastor speaking to help you.
Hallelujah.
My time isn't my own. I can't just do whatever I want. Neither can my lovely wife. She's dedicated to me. I'm dedicated to her. I can't be selfish. I can't be self-centered. When the Lord filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, what a change in my life. I was no longer single, but I had a new partner in my heart and in my soul. I no longer could do what I wanted to do. I could no longer go where I wanted to go. I could no longer act the way I wanted to act because Jesus came in and resided. He didn't just become my friend that I put him on a shelf and I took him off when I wanted him or when I needed him or when there was a crisis or when it was fun. When he came in, there was a transition in my life. I couldn't act the way I wanted to act, live the way I wanted to live. Because somebody else came to live inside. Is everything perfect? No. I've had to respond to a lot of different transitions in life. I remember going from just a lay minister in the church to evangelizing. That was the worst 3 months of my life. Then from there to pastoring. Some of the greatest times of my life. Pastor, it ain't all been good. It ain't all been perfect. But there's more joy. Yesterday was one of those highlights of my life.
Amen. Amen.
Transitioning from high school to your first job. One job to the next. How about job from to retirement? How about the transition of life to death? Probably every single one of us have lost a loved one. Some very close, some maybe not so close. But if you've ever lost a loved one that was close, oh, what a transition. I've watched some people and they've never made the transition to letting that person go. For whatever reason, they've been eat up with guilt. More than likely, they didn't have everything right with that person. And they passed on and they never got an opportunity like they'd hoped for. I don't want to live my life. I don't want to live my life not taking advantage of every opportunity. I don't want somebody to die in my life and go, oh, if I just would have. Because my pastor is still not doing well with this cancer. But I texted him a bunch of pictures yesterday of church in Winnemucca. First time he said he's going to come and see me. He told me that in a text yesterday. People can get all kinds of crazy ideas. And I told somebody the other day, I said, I want to spend as much time with my pastor as I possibly can. Because once he's gone, he's gone. I'm going to place a transition there in my life where there's a high possibility my pastor's going to be gone forever. All kinds of transitions that were going in our life. And there's some of us today, you're in the place of transition and you really don't know who Jesus is. But he so desperately wants to know who you are. He wants to come in and dwell and live inside of your heart. And you're at a place of transition of whether, I just don't know if I can do this, and I don't know if I like this, and I don't know if I like that. And there's a transition. And I'm challenging every single one of us today. I know in different levels, in different places, some of you that don't know Him on a personal, intimate level are trying to reach for your heart and your soul right now. I'm trying to tag in with you and get you to understand you're in a place of transition. That aching, that yearning in your heart, that discontentment, that hole that you say is there inside of you, that that drugs haven't filled, that relationships haven't filled, that alcohol hasn't filled, that money hasn't filled, that houses haven't, that nothing seems to fill. That hole, that's the one I'm talking about.
Hallelujah.
You've tried to stuff different things in that hole. But Jesus is the only thing that will fit in that hole.
Yes. Amen.
And I know I'm preaching here today to those of you that you already have that hole filled in your life, but you haven't cherished it like you ought to have. And God's trying to take you to different places and advance you in different ways, and you're fighting His hand. And part of that fighting of His hand is you're fighting your pastor. God only knows, for the last couple of weeks I have grieved, I have wept over you, your name has been on my lips, my wife and I have fasted. Can I even say that we've worried? Can I say that you were on my mind this morning? Last night I didn't know what I was going to preach, but this morning I woke up with this. You're in that in-between place, that time of testing. The Bible said, wait on the Lord. He will renew your strength. Judas, don't hang yourself. Get a hold of the spirit Peter had. Judas, don't commit suicide. Judas, don't commit suicide. It's not that's not going to answer anything. You're running away and you're going somewhere else and you're doing something else outside of the will of God is not going to fix it. Transitions, oh, they can be so full of surprises. There are very few surprises that I enjoy. Very few. I don't like surprises. I don't like being caught unaware. But I know that nothing catches God by surprise. Nothing takes Him unaware. Sees it all. Romans 8:28 said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. You know what's a tragedy is? I think Judas really loved Jesus. I think he did. I think Judas really loved Jesus. How could this tragedy happen? How could somebody that was so close, oh God, I hope you hear me right now. Jesus is trying to help somebody right now. Jesus is moving on your heart, on other people's hearts right now. How could this happen? Judas, you were right there. You walked with Him. You talked with Him. You saw the miracles that He did. You felt His love. You felt His concern. You saw all of this. Judas, how? How can it be, Judas? How can it be, Judas? You knew Jesus in such an intimate way. You were so close to Him. How, Judas? Judas, you didn't make it through the transition. You didn't make it through the transition. To them who are called according to his purpose, there are no accidents with God.
Amen.
He's the one that has put the transition in motion. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. What do you want? To do with me, God? How do you want to speak to me, God? What lesson am I to learn in this transition? Where do I go from here? God, you said I'm called according to your purpose. So what's the next step? What's your next step? What's your next step? Is your next step stepping out of that aisle that you're at? Stepping out of that seat? Is your next step like Peter's? As you step out and you go, oh God, God, I got to make it through this transition. I don't understand all that's going on in my life. I don't know all the whys. I don't know how the how comes. I don't understand it all, but God, forgive me. Will you be like Peter? Will that next step be you stepping out of an aisle and making your way to an altar? Finding repentance. Finding that direction that you need. Finding help from the Spirit of God. Or will you be like Judas and the next step be out the door? And the next step, be out the door. Oh, so many transitions here today. Some living for God for multiple years, others just on a brand new journey, and yet you're on that brand new journey, and you got it. What do I do from here? I'll tell you what you do from here. You fall in love with Jesus. You fall in love with Jesus.
Oh God.
Jesus answered and said unto them, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. There's coming a time you're going to understand. It's going to all come together for you. You're going to see it clearly. But the way that you respond now, in the middle of transition, will make all the difference in your future. It'll make all the difference in the outcome of how you respond to the transition now. But Jesus did say, you're going to know, you're going to understand. It'll make sense to you once you get to the other side. It'll make sense to you. If you don't have the Holy Ghost today, I'm going to tell you, Jesus wants to fill you with his Spirit. Some things may not make sense right now, but with the power of the Spirit, He said that He would lead you and guide you into all truth. He would open your understanding. You would see things and understand things that weren't clear before with the power of the Holy Ghost, because Jesus comes on the inside to dwell and live with you. Wherever you're at today, I know there's many of you that made your way already to this altar and you begin to pray. Come on, will you pray and talk to God? Help me, Lord, in this time of transition. God, help me to make the right decisions. There's choices that you're making. There's decisions that you're making today that will determine your future, determine the outcome of your life. Will you ask the Lord today, help me in the middle of this transition, God? There's turmoil in your marriage. There's turmoil with your children. And you're in a transition. You can't figure it all out. You're grieving within because you and your wife are drifting further and further apart. Maybe it's vice versa. You and your husband are drifting further, not closer. There's great difficulty there. Oh, there's so many things right now God's trying to help you with. God's trying to help you with. Will you call on Him? Come on, we got to be careful in these times of transition. Sometimes we can't see beyond the here and the now. Oh, but I'm begging you today, don't make a foolish mistake like Judas did. Don't make a foolish choice like Judas did. You're in that place of transition. Come on, my brother. Come on, my sister. Get a hold of the spirit that Peter got inside of him. And he wept. He wept bitterly. He grieved bitterly. God, I can't go on like I'm living. I'm living a lie. I'm living a lie. I'm living a lie. I'm living a lie. God, help me. I gotta get real with myself. I gotta get real with myself, God. Come on, will you lift up your voice? Oh, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, all over this house. Now is not a time to be ashamed of lifting up your voice. Now is not a time to be ashamed of crying out unto the Lord. The scripture encourages us to call on Him while He is near. Oh, call on Him while He is near, while He is nigh. Call on Him today. Call on Him today. Call on Him today. Oh, the trial, the struggle, the tribulation, the difficulty that you're facing. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name.